Good morning, 8:03 a.m. on, what is it? It's Wednesday. Yes, it is. It's Wednesday, April the 30th, 2016. And I'm a little later this morning than I was yesterday. I didn't get out at sunrise. It looked really icky out at sunrise. Everything is still wet. We had rain overnight. And enough rain that there are puddles here and there. So it wasn't an inconsiderable amount. The grasses are going to go, yeah. And trees are going to bud. It's definitely falling into spring. And the sun is out. It's a brisk morning. It's at 38-ish. I suspect it's going to get up to 50 today. But a lovely morning. And I'm glad I waited for the sun to get up a little bit. The issue was that that cloud bank off to the east was blocking the sunrise, so the early morning sun didn't draw me out, as they say. And then I got involved in conversations about all kinds of things. I finally put an update. It was one of those, why are people commenting on Happy New Year? And the answer is, it's the last post I made on solarclipper.com. So I went in and put a little update on for Solar Clipper. And yeah, I know, people are really anxious to get the new Ishmael book out. I can't write the new Ishmael book until I get Milk Run done. And I think perhaps maybe Milk Run is about ready to hatch. Hope. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. Today's big festivity will be another run at the bank. We're going to go talk to retirement planners this morning again. We've made some decisions. We need to go talk to them about getting them implemented. So yeah, it's coming along. It's coming along nicely. The organizational work is necessary. It's one of those low-level distractions that has finally risen to the point of we need to get this boil lanced and see what we can do to get things ironed out, straightened away, get the business taken care of, get all of the legal documents that I need to have in place. Which isn't to say I haven't been writing or I haven't been working on Milk Run. It's just, it hasn't had my full attention. It's sort of gestating in the back of my mind. And the organizational stuff is perhaps as important now as anything else, particularly given my goals for the year. If I could get the organization ironed out, that will make what is to come for what will undoubtedly be a very trying year. It'll make that a little easier. I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to make this year go well. But we can do our best. That's really all we can do. I'm hiking along because I am hungry. I am so hungry this morning. Had about a cup of coffee. I actually slept in a little bit this morning. It was close to 6 before I got up, which is another reason why I'm running a little bit late. And this morning I was chatting with the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers group on Facebook, And the thing that they're wrestling with now is promotion. How do we promote our books? And they're following the same path everybody else treads, and which ultimately works against them. And that's, we'll pool all our books together and send out a newsletter. Okay, stop right there. Because newsletters need to have a focus. Newsletters need to have a goal and a mission and a mission to sell our books is not exactly one that you're going to get people to sign up for. I mean, other than the people who are addicted to QVC or home shopping or one of those people, these are not people who want to be sold to. They want us recommendations. Which is why next Monday the 4th, I will be firing up a new blog called Peer Reviewed, where authors will recommend review indie titles. Now, this is not something that I anticipate taking a great deal of my time going forward. It's taken a bit of time getting it set up. But with 26 titles scheduled, and I'm only going to do 3 a week, the site is already scheduled through May. And I anticipate sometime around mid-April putting out the call for some new titles to be reviewed once people see what the reviews look like. And I'm hoping that my fans and the fans of the people who are doing the reviews will find the reviews helpful or interesting. They might find a new author. The reason I'm doing this rather than promoting it on my existing blog is that there are books that I want to recommend that aren't space opera, that aren't fantasy. And my tacit promise is that my blogs will be aimed squarely at my audience. Now, this podcast is a bit looser because, well, pretty much everybody listening to this podcast is a hardcore fan, or at least a friendly colleague. I'm not bound by the same constraints because we're talking about here, talking on my morning walk, which is whatever I happen to be thinking about. And sometimes that's science fiction and sometimes it's education, and lately, a lot of times it's been marketing, just because a lot of the people that I'm talking to in my professional circuits are all dealing with marketing, and it drives me buggy. Because I hate to see them shooting themselves in both feet and then wondering why they can't do a 50-yard dash. The difficulty, of course, is that there is no really good recipe. You can't really say, well, if you do this, then you'll get a loaf of bread. No, not really. There's still too much art involved. There's still too much, you know. I can recommend a book that I like a lot. That doesn't mean anybody I recommend it to is going to want to read it. It doesn't mean anybody I recommend it to is going to be able to look past the cover or get beyond the blurb or ignore the 3 one-star reviews or even get past the first page. God knows there's been enough books where I haven't been able to get through the first page that are really wildly popular. And my experience has been, it's in the cases that I have actually pushed through the first page because they were, oh no, you really need to do, a few times it's been worthwhile. Most of the time, not so much. Sam Hunt's Outlaw King was one where it actually did pay off. It did come off really quite nicely once I ignored the first chapter, which was aggravating. very prologue-y and you didn't really need it. Even though he insists that it's absolutely required to understand the story. No, no, sorry, Sam. It's not. Anyway, Outlaw King is a good book. It does have a cliff at the end, which is why I didn't go read the second book. But it is very much like... Stephen King's Gunslinger. Very much like it. Apparently his Malice Domestica is better. I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't... horror isn't my genre. Which is the other problem. Because there are a lot of people who like science fiction and horror, who are like fantasy and horror. I'm not one of those people. So, getting other authors, some of them indie, most of them indie, Monk Post. I've got a couple of hybrid authors who are anxious to weigh in. And I've already had my first instance of log rolling. We'll try to keep a handle on that. The quid pro quo, you review my book, I'll review yours, just weakens both of them. And if it gets to be too obnoxious, then I'll have to put in a rule that says to at least make it more difficult. So there at least have to be three people rolling logs, not just two. You review my book, I'll review Bob's. Bob will review yours. That'll make it at least a little more difficult for them to play the quid pro quo game. It's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I really like, for example, I really like Lisa Cohen's Derelict, her Halcyon Space series. And I recommend it all the time. She also recommends my books to her listeners, her readers, all the time, to her friends, all the time. It's the quid pro quo. It's the obligation. It's the... I don't know. Oh, garbage truck. It's the idea that people are reviewing books not because they like them, but because somebody else did them a favor and they're returning the favor. I really don't want that to be a habit. I want people to recommend the books that they like and explain why they like them. To review books that they like and explain why. So that'll be on nathanlowell.com/reviews. There's a placeholder there now. Watch this space. And I've got 26 titles. The first review is mine. I'm going to do the first review, and then after that, I don't have another one in there. I need to get another one in, because there's books I want to recommend. Earthrise. The Hogarth. I left links to the Hogarth in a blog post on TMOW the other day. But Earthrise, it's... Yeah! Whoa! I burned through all three of the titles, like, over the weekend. Last weekend. And I was worried that I was going to get half... I was halfway through and I started recommending it to, like, Galaxy Ranger and talking about it here. And I was worried, I'm going to get to the end and I'm going to get cliffed, or the ending is going to fall flat, or something's going to happen, and no. Wow. I loved it. Three books. I think they've just gone in into Kindle Select recently. So, yeah, if you're in Unlimited, you can read them for free. They're fast reads. They're not short books, but they... I went through them really quickly. in part because I couldn't stop reading. I just couldn't stop reading. My wife came up and found me sitting in the living room, 10 o'clock at night. The lights are off because I'm reading on my phone, but she says, "What are you doing?" I'm reading. It's 10 o'clock, why don't you go to bed? One more page. It's terrible. So I took the book to bed and read in bed. But it was spectacular. I loved it. And now I've gone to pick up her next, I forget what it's called now, but I've gone to pick up the next book. She's done a very good job of creating alien races that are close to human because they are human creations. They are genetically modified people. And the genetic modifications take the form of animals. In one case, a bird. It's a phoenix, which is a bird they call a phoenix. It's not actually a phoenix, but it's the imagination here, the world building. That was wonderful. So yeah, I'm going to talk a lot about Maggie Hogarth probably for a while. She's also vice president of CIFWA, and also a member of the self-publishing committee in CIFWA. Speaking of CIFWA, we're still fighting with this idea of the schism between Indian traditional publishing. I mean, I get that traditional publishers really don't take kindly to having indies talking about how much they make or thresholds that are laughable in terms of, oh yeah, if you're not making at least this much, then you're not a professional writer. Laughable. All right, with one title, making $3,000 a year with one title is the threshold for any publisher, a self-published author, in order to become an active member of CIFWA. And you only need to do that once, and then you're a member for life as long as you keep paying your dues, which so far I intend to do. In fact, next year I may run for office just because I really want to help people, particularly the traditionally published authors, understand that the narrative that they're being fed is not necessarily a narrative that is reflected in real life. Or at least it's not the narrative that I see reflected in my practice. That's probably a better way to do it. The idea that most indies don't earn $500 in their lifetime. That's probably true. That is probably true. But the reality is most traditional publishers never get out of the agent slush pile. So they never learn, they never earn anything. And those that do, only 1 in 10 actually earns out their advance. And their advances are relatively small. They used to be $5,000, now they're around $3,000. There's a certain component that believes that the minimum advance is $10,000. And for some publishers, that might actually be the case. But these are publishers that are only publishing 8 or 10 books a year. So getting into one of those publication slots is decidedly difficult. And it's largely taken up by the people who they already publish. It's already taken up by their current stable. So there's an interesting challenge here. Good morning. There's an interesting challenge here to try to figure out what the shape of things actually are. Oh, at any rate, here I am, out the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.